Tattoo. There we go. And I'm starting to hear me better. Oh, that's stupid. Hey, Scott, if you're listening, we need to get that pot fixed. Okay, we're back and I can hear myself. We're with Jonah. I had to remember the whale. And also James Anderson, our Marion County naturalist. And we're talking about all sorts of critters and flowers and all sorts of stuff. One of the things that you and I were interested in was a sighting down in an area where you and I kind of called home for a while, down in southeastern Ohio. What showed up down there again?
So there was actually two sightings. There was actually one in the town of Nelsonville.
Yeah.
There around the Burger King on the 33. And then
that's on the east side of Nelsonville.
Yes. And then there was one at the Clear Creek Metro Park, which is just right at the border of Hocking and Fairfield County. So it's kind of right at the edge where Hocking Hills kind of begins.
Yeah.
And these are black bears.
Yeah, black bears.
Yeah. Now, when I was and I've told James this before, I was driving down Route 33, which is where that Burger King is, and I saw a woolly black thing butt sticking up, and I thought, oh, there's a really woolly cow. As I drove by, I realized it was a bear. So that was kind of surprising. Kind of exciting, too. It's kind of neat. And you say we have several hundred bear in the area, or in Ohio.
In Ohio, yep.
Yeah.
They think we have about 300 to 400 bears.
Okay.
In our state. And that's just an estimate. That's not a true number. It could be more, could be less.
Might there be a bear up in this area? Or is it more likely that they'd be closer to the Ohio River?
So they're more, the closest they are to here to Marion County would be Mohegan.
Okay.
So not too terribly far, but I would say one day we could possibly have a bear or two sighting, especially around the Big Island Wildlife Area.
Yeah.
And especially up in Kildare Plains, too. That could be also another good area to find
wandering
bears.
This way looking for dinner.
Well, yeah, looking for food, looking for a new home, because the young males, they get kicked out by the older males, and so they have to establish territory, and they can travel up to 40, 50 miles.
They're really more or less herbaceous, but they will eat critters, right?
Oh, yeah. About 90% of a black bear's diet is plant matter. Now, the animal matter, it mainly consists of insects. Now, the smallest thing that they will eat, bigger animal-wise, if you talk about, is a white-tailed deer fawn. They also will eat mice, small squirrels.
What, did you say a fawn?
Yeah. I'm sorry, I just turned my microphone off so I could cough. A fawn, they would eat that big a critter.
Yes. Now, you have to think about, especially in those first couple of weeks when the fawn is not moving, when they're sitting still, that has been the time when the bear will take advantage. Because bears, we tend to think of them as these huge, huge predators, but they actually don't hunt very well. Now, they can run fast. I mean, they can run up about 30 miles per hour, but they can't run fast long.
Now, do you run 30 miles an hour?
No.
I don't think Jonah runs 30 miles an hour. And he's young.
Yes.
I ran a 10-300, and I don't think that was... I think that was closer to about 15 miles an hour.
So that's why they're not going after things like large rabbits or things like that.
Yeah. I'm sad to hear they go after fawn, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. That's what nature's all about. My wife and I love nature, but we hate what nature does to other critters.
It's the great circle of life.
Yeah, right. You can romanticize it any way you want to. There's critters getting eaten.
Yeah.
Okay. So now these two bear that they've seen down there.
Yes.
Could they be the same bear, or is it likely?
I would say most likely they're two different sightings. Okay. I mean, I know those two areas are relatively close to one another.
Yeah, relatively. Yeah.
But in my opinion, I would say they're two different bears. And we have to remember, southeastern Ohio and northeastern Ohio, that's where most of the bear sightings are found. In our state, because
they got to get across the river somehow, so they go across the bridge, I suppose.
Yep, they're caught. They're coming over from West Virginia and Pennsylvania.
Do they swim?
Yeah, they swim.
Okay, so would they swim across the Ohio River?
Yeah, they'll swim. Deer swim, elk swim. So
really, that's kind of there's current and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah.
That would sweep them down the river quite a ways.
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, let's hope we don't get any right here. It would be kind of shocking to be walking on the tall grass trail and have even a brown bear, which I don't think would frighten me. Well, it would astound me, and it would wake me up, but I don't think I would run screaming like a little girl from a bee.
Yeah.
So, anyway, somebody's going to call me about that, saying, you can't say that about a little girl. And when I had a little girl, she would run screaming from bees. So, and
you know, I did too when I was little.
Yeah.
I did. I did not like bees or wasps. My parents, they would always make fun of me because, especially at night, when the lightning bugs were out, I would be screaming, "There's bees! There's bees!" And they're like, "No, James, that's not bees." Bugs.
Now, I have a great friend. Well, I guess you can't really call him a great friend. I had a great friend, Carter Wolf. His dad was the minister that followed my dad into the church that we were at. And Carter was at summer camp and crawled up a pole that had a Martin's bird
thing. Purple Martin box.
Yeah. And it was filled with bees.
Oh,
he was stung 98 times.
90, wow.
And, but after they got him to the hospital in time, and he was okay.
Good.
But, yeah, you don't want to mess around with things like that. Because they can kill you.
Oh, they can.
If enough of them sting you.
Yes, absolutely. Even if you're not allergic to them.
Yeah.
Because there's only so much venom that your body can only handle.
Yeah. Now, I guess you use an antihistamine if you get stung.
I think so.
Yeah. Okay. What were we were going to talk about something else that was important.
I know. I can't quite remember. What now?
We are going to go over your program.
Yes.
At the end of this.
Yep, absolutely. And
I know. We have a lady that had called in while we were on our break. And, ma'am, you can call back. The number is 740-383-9944. That's 740-383-9944. Well, what are you going to do? What are you and Jonah doing on a daily basis? How is he learning
so
the biz?
We do a lot of our nature programs, or we go out to public events. Like tonight, we'll be at the farmer's market in downtown Marion.
Is that down there on Busby Park?
Around Founders Park.
Founders Park.
It used to be, but then, you know, they tore Founders Park down, and we're somewhere, I think, on Main Street, around Main Street area.
Okay.
Or Center Street.
Maybe at that intersection area?
It might be, yeah.
Somewhere, okay. And what are you going to do there?
So we're just going to set up our display. And I know it's kind of weird having a park district at a farmer's market, but we just figure it's a way to promote the parks.
It's a good way to have people see what you do.
Yeah.
I like the idea.
We've been, you know, I've done craft shows before, too.
What type of craft do you do?
Well, I don't do crafts, but same thing.
You didn't strike me as a crafty type of guy.
I'm no Martha Stewart.
You look a little like her, but not a whole lot. Yeah. If you'd shave the beard.
Yeah, just a little, right?
Yeah. No, I'd say Jonah looks more like her. His hair is the right length.
Yeah.
Okay, so you go to these things. Does he have to go to classes? Do you have classes for him?
No.
Okay. So he doesn't have strict learning while he's
following.
Now, is he easy to drag around behind you, or what?
Oh, yeah, he's been really great, especially for our outdoor kids program, the kiddos at the park.
Yeah, I bet. Especially, let's say, kids like reptiles.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet they really want to touch those snakes, right, and stuff like
that. Well, he doesn't have snakes, but he has turtles and the geckos that he was talking about earlier.
Well, when you're out at the tall grass trail, don't you find snakes while you're walking on the little
We haven't found any yet.
Really? You haven't found any garter
snakes? I mean, they're out there, but yeah, I haven't found any yet this
summer. How big do garter snakes get?
They can get up to about 12 to 14 inches.
Oh, so they're a lot smaller than I thought.
But on average, I should say they're usually about 10 to 11.
But not a lot bigger than that little brown snake.
Yeah, those guys can only get up to about 3 inches, 4 inches.
He was kind of cute.
Yeah.
Did we ever name him?
12 inches. Brown snakes, adults get 12 inches. Adult female garter snakes can get like 3 feet, I think.
Okay.
That's true.
I thought I saw a garter snake longer than that.
So. The babies are like 3 or 4 inches for brown snakes, but the adults get like I think 12 to 14 inches.
Well, the one you brought in probably was 4 or 5.
Yeah, he was a tiny little thing. Yeah,
really small.
He had a nice smile, though.
He did. He was a cute little thing.
All right. So what is the most, excuse me, I'm kind of clumped here. What is the most prolific animal that people are seeing out on the Tallgrass Trail right now?
I probably chipmunks. A lot of chipmunks, yeah.
Now, are they up in population? Because I've seen chipmunks in our backyard, which I had never seen before.
Yes, they're everywhere.
Why? They haven't been eaten.
That too. I would just say, just, you know, especially around people's bird feeders, they're taking advantage of that. And not, you know, being in downtown, not a lot of predators. I mean, there's still predators. I mean, there's still coyotes, sometimes foxes, and hawks and owls. But overall, I just think they hide easier and better in a urban, suburban environment than they would in a park environment.
Have you had any association with any coyotes while you were out at the Tallgrass Trail?
I have not seen any.
Our one night hike, we had coyotes howling, so.
Oh. Really?
Or yipping, I should say.
I was going to say, what do they sound like? They sound like a, I don't know, a yipping sound?
Yeah, like yip, 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 yip. You know.
Now, do we have, somebody told me we actually have heard a bobcat in this area.
Yeah, well, there's a couple sightings in bobcats in Marion County. Not a lot.
Well, I mean, if they see me, I'm a bobcat. But
yeah.
There really are.
Yeah.
And they don't sound at all like what you think they're going to
sound. No, they sound like a lady screaming.
Yes, they do, exactly.
Yes.
They
sound like, so if you hear screaming. That, I always said it could be a few things. I said it could be a bobcat, sometimes barred owls will make that same screeching sound, or it could be an actual woman screaming.
Well, if it is, it's that, call 911. When we went down to the Delaware State Park to inaugurate our new RV, I think I told you last year we had a raccoon growl at us.
And
I didn't know raccoons growled, but that's what the naturalist down there told me she thought it was. Well, this time I started the fire. We're sitting there. Don't tell them, but we were drinking a glass of wine, which is illegal there. But we were drinking a little glass of wine, enjoying our fire that was burning.
Yeah.
And I look over by my wife's to my right, and I look over there, and there's a little opening over there. And a raccoon, it was almost like a cartoon. He stuck his head up, looked at both of us, kept looking back and forth between the two of us for about 15 seconds.
Yeah.
Then his head went back down, and we never saw him again.
Really?
And we didn't hear him, but apparently and it's the same place we were last year.
Okay.
We go to the same place each time. Apparently, we're on a game trail or right next to a game trail.
Okay.
Because not only do we get raccoons that come through there, rabbits, there are always rabbits around there, but we get occasional deer that walks through.
Yeah.
Now, they won't walk through while we're there, but I was going to the bathroom, and I should correct that. I was going to the facilities that are about 50 yards away from where we were parked.
Yeah.
And I saw a deer walk in that way. And I came running back after I did what I had to do. And I said, honey, did you see the deer? No, it walked right through our campsite.
Really?
And she didn't see it because she was inside the RV doing so, cooking or something.
I get you.
And we must be on a game trail or real close to a game trail.
Okay.
We've also seen, trying to remember what other than raccoons. There have been several.
There's probably skunks, opossums.
I have not. Oh, that was it. We did see an opossum.
Opossum.
I have not seen a skunk there, nor have I smelled one. Thank goodness.
Yeah.
And I'm waiting for that skunk that lives next to my house to spray my dog at some point.
Yeah. You know what? I've told you what to do, right?
Yeah, tell us again so that in case it happens.
So the first thing you don't want to do, don't wash them down, because being that water and that oil, what you do, you just basically bed it deeper into their fur. So you want to kind of pat dry it first.
Okay.
Then after that, The other thing you don't want to do is the old-fashioned tomato juice. Like, yeah. You probably learned, right?
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
So because tomato juice is an acid, well, skunk spray is an acid too, so you're making it worse. So you have to neutralize the acid, kill the acid, and it's baking soda, Dawn dish soap, and peroxide. And you got to mix it together. And it's all your alkalinities, and that's what kills the acid. Now, I will tell you, it's not going to automatically get rid of the smell, and it's going to dissipate it, but it's going to take time.
Yeah.
And you got to keep reapplying it.
How many days will that last, that
smell? Oh, my goodness. I will admit, if you probably put a bunch on, it may only maybe last a couple weeks, but if you only do it like once or twice, it may last up to a month. Jonah and I, we went to the Latino Health Fair at St. Mary's Catholic Church, and we met somebody. Some kid got sprayed by a skunk.
There?
Well, at his home. And he lived somewhere in downtown Marion.
Did he still smell?
No, he didn't. No. And he said he was sprayed recently, so I don't know if he was telling the truth or not, but his little sister came, and of course we asked him, so where did he sleep? Oh, he slept in the car until he didn't smell anymore.
I bet his dad liked having his car smell like a skunk.
But they told me about the whole concoction thing, too, and they found it online, and they said, yeah, that really helped. So I'm like, oh, good. That's good to know. Good.
I think it depends on how directly you're sprayed, because I've been sprayed too, but I don't think it was like very direct and it went away just after showering like normally.
Oh really? Okay. Yeah.
Well, the one that we cited, and I've talked to James about this, the one that we cited couldn't have been further than from here to the wall away from us, and he stood up on his haunches as opposed to turning around, so he obviously didn't spray at us, but he was very upset.
He was threatening you.
Yeah, he was kind of growling at us.
Oh, yeah.
And
well, remember, I've told you, you know why their spray is the last defense.
Yeah, yeah, because they lose it for a couple weeks.
Yep,
right?
At least, yeah, 14 days at least, and then it takes to replenish the new spray.
Now, I was watching on YouTube a thing. Now, this isn't skunk spray, but if you ever get into poison ivy, and we have a lot of, I'm scratching now.
Just the thought of it.
Yeah. We have a lot of poison ivy this year we've seen around. And there was a lot of poison ivy down at the Delaware State Park.
Yeah.
But the YouTube thing said you need to, as soon as you find out that you've been into poison ivy, don't scratch.
Yeah.
Go wash. And wash really well. And you can actually wait up to, I think he said, 6 hours afterwards, and it won't start affecting you until after a while. But you need to wash immediately and wash really well for a long period of time.
Yes.
And he said you won't even know you got into it. So.
And then you want to use cold water at first.
Oh, is that right?
Because warm water will open your pores.
Yeah, of course, yeah.
Now, do that for a while, then you could probably move up to your warmer water.
Yeah, okay. I don't like cold water, but
now if you're out in the wild and say you're away from a water source and you get into fresh poison ivy, there is jewelweed right now, or touch me not. It's the
What's
other.
It look like?
So the stem is very transparent, so you can really see through it.
The stem?
Yeah, the stalk. Uh-huh. And then the leaves look very waxy. That's why its name is called jewelweed, because if you put it underneath the water, it kind of beads up into like little jewels.
Huh.
Now, we have two different types of jewelweed in Ohio. We have the pale jewelweed, which is the yellow flower, and then the most common one is called the spotted jewelweed or the spotted touch-me-not. It's an orange background with red spots on it. But the leaves look identical. But it's like aloe, like you were talking about earlier.
Yeah.
You pull it up, you grab it, and then squirt those juices on you.
Okay.
And it counterfeits not only fresh poison ivy, but stinging nettle or wood nettle as well.
Now, I've noticed that I have more stinging nettle this year than I'd had in the past. Yeah. I imagine this all has to do with having such a wet spring. Didn't we have a pretty wet spring?
We did. It seems like we've had a wet spring and a dry summer so far.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't like stinging nettles because they sting.
Well, you know what? What if I were to tell you they are edible?
I've heard that, and maybe it was you that told me that, but how would you eat it? Obviously, you don't want to eat it, the nettle.
Yeah, don't want to eat it raw. Now, when it's very, very young shoots, you can, but what you can do as it gets older is you have to boil those hairs off.
Oh, okay.
And you can even in a salad, but when I was at Athens, down in Hocking College, the Athens County Farmers Market, there was this one girl, total hippie, and she was giving out drinks.
Is that a bad word?
No, hippie.
I associate with that word.
Oh, that's right.
Having come from the 60s.
She was handing out some nettle tea, and she said, and she was telling me all the medicinal properties. I gave it a whirl, and oh my goodness, it tasted like grass. But I bet it was healthy.
Do you like tea?
Oh, I love tea.
Now,
I make a lot of different kinds of tea. I make spice bush tea and lemon balm tea.
I have mint in my backyard.
Yeah.
And I'm trying to remember whether it's spearmint.
Yeah, there's spearmint. There's a lot of different kinds of mint.
Yeah, there are. How do you make tea out of mint?
It's just really simple. So you can just grab the leaves themselves, and then if you got an infuser, which you
I
can
do
buy,
not.
You can buy them at Walmart. They're really cheap. They're about $6.
My wife calls me an abuser.
No, an infuser.
Oh, infuser.
Yeah,
okay.
Infuser. It's basically like a strainer.
Okay.
And like mine at Walmart, it clamps open, and then you put the leaves in there, and then then you put in the water, and then when the leaves hit the hot water, that kind of juices come out, and it makes what's called an infusion.
Okay.
That's the forager term for making tea, and that's just the fancy name. Yeah, and that's another one you can buy. It's like a ball and chain.
Oh yeah, I've seen that. Yeah. My mother used to have one of those. I wondered what it was for.
Yeah. But like I said, the ones at Walmart, it has more of like a clamp, and it just looks like a little miniature strainer, like you would use for spaghetti.
Couldn't you just like in coffee?
Yeah, that one right there. Yep.
Okay.
It's only like
$3. I know you can't see this because we're not on TV, but yeah. Okay. Now, couldn't you do just like you do with coffee? Couldn't you just pour hot water
like a strainer
over, like a coffee
filter? Yeah.
Filter?
I guess you could. I never tried it that way, but
you have to squinch the leaves up? Or
I will admit, if you do that, it will probably help get a lot of the minerals out. But I don't know. I just leave them in there and just pour it in.
Do they taste like anything other than hot water?
Well, I mean, you got to give it time. Now, like spice push tea, it tastes like kind of like fruity pebbles with a little hint of pepper.
Fruity pebbles?
Yeah, like the cereal. Fruity pebbles.
Okay.
Cereal. I have a 6-year-old, so of course I know all about this. Kinds of fun cereal.
Now, if I do that, is there like caffeine in that type of tea?
No,
okay.
There is not.
So it's not going to get me all hyper?
No.
Why do people even do that?
Coming from nature,
Is the flavor really good?
For spice bush tea, I mean, I like that.
Where do you find spice bush?
Usually like in the middle of the forest, especially if there's kind of open areas. Teradyne Nature Preserve and Myers Woods have spice bush, but Tallgrass Trail doesn't have the right habitat.
Okay.
But then like lemon balm, which you can buy like at garden stores. I made tea from that.
I grew lemon balm one year.
Yeah.
And I think I found a couple of recipes for what I could use it in and hated both of them, so I haven't grown it again. So.
Okay. Now, of course, adding sugar or honey is always going to make it taste better.
Yeah, I'm sure that would be true. I did not do that. So, all right. Well, anyway, we're in about 10 minutes, and we haven't gotten that lady to call back yet. In about 10 minutes, we're going to go over the program that you've got. And
yes.
I see you are...
we're pretty busy.
Yeah,
July.
You're busy right now. And are you getting a lot of people out at the Tallgrass Trail?
Yeah. Like Jonas, he's done 3 programs for the month of June, and except for one. He's had a few, like the one on Tuesday, the turtle one. He went 9 people, right?
Yep.
He would add one more if that guy, if I told that guy when it was. Okay, but, I mean, like, do you get 20 hikers a day? Do you get 100 hikers a day?
Oh,
do you have a number?
So I used to in the past, because the health department, they always wanted to know the numbers. So for our grants, sometimes just sitting at the parking lot, I've counted almost 100 people in a 3-hour period.
Oh, that's good.
So and now, like when COVID first hit, it was like that all the time. Because, of course, when everything was shut down. And
yeah, that was the only thing you could do.
Yeah, no one had nowhere to go. So, everybody came out to the parks.
Now, what do you grow in between one parking lot and that?
So that is our little prairie.
That's what I was wondering if it was intentional.
Yes, that was intentional. Yeah, it's just to show that is what Marion County used to look like. I mean, what we're standing on was once a prairie remnant.
It gets pretty tall.
The one in the middle where we mow the grass now, those were really tall. I mean, they got up to 8 feet tall. We had to mow it down because the sheriff was asking us because some people were complaining, and we didn't have an incident, but the fear was people would hide in the tall grass and then pop out and mug people. And so the sheriff said, you know, we really would like, you know, if you would consider doing this. And we're like, okay. So we mowed that middle part, and luckily the prairie plants on the side, they get at least 4 feet tall, but they don't get up to six or feet tall or more.
Why'd they get so tall in the middle there? Fertilizing?
No, just different species.
Oh, okay.
That's like, and I mean, I'll talk about it on the list, but our prairie plant tour, we have some prairie plants, they can get up to 9 feet tall.
Wow. I keep threatening my wife that I'm going to get a ornamental grass that grows about 8 feet tall, and she keeps telling me she'll leave. So I guess I'm not going to get that.
Yeah.
Are you getting a lot of sightings of turtles? I would think they'd be going crazy right now.
Yeah, the second bridge, that's usually the best spot to find
them.
That's
where I've seen them, yeah.
I know, Jonah, are you seeing any other? Oh, he found turtle eggs in our one program.
What does a turtle egg look like?
Well, there's a lot of snapping turtles nesting.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of disturbed rocks and stuff. And while we were out for the edible and medicinal plant program, I was just looking around, and it looked like a raccoon had dug up one of the nests, so there are eggshells everywhere. And they're kind of, I mean, they're just white eggs, but they're like, they're more leathery, more pliable, more flexible than like chicken eggs.
How big are they?
Probably like yay big.
He's showing about an inch diameter. Yeah.
I don't know if they're oblong or circular for snapping turtles, but I know with red-eared sliders they're oblong.
What'd you call that?
They're more like an oval.
What type of turtle did you say?
Red-eared slider.
What is that? I've never heard of one of those.
A red-eared slider, it's the most common type of pet turtle, but they're also found and native here in Ohio. But mainly what you'll see is painted turtles. That's what I was out a different day, and I went to the second bridge, and there was a painted turtle on either side. But generally in the waterways, we've seen them in that channel that's the first bridge goes over as well. But there's snapping turtles there, and probably soft shells, considering I found...
In the past, I've seen soft shells around the lake. Soft shells in the...
What's a soft shell?
So
I know what it is if it's a crab. I've eaten them.
They have a softer shell. Like
really?
It's almost like leather. It's pliable, and they're wider and thinner. They're very wide and thin, and then it kind of looks like... There's not as much definition between where their skin is and their shell. It kind of just flows right in, and then the edges of their shell, you can kind of bend it a little bit.
Now the first one you were talking about, red earth or what?
Red eared slider. It's because they have red markings on the back of
their
head.
Oh, red ear. Okay.
Yeah.
You said they're like pet turtles. Does that mean they're really small?
You would think so, but no. It's just that they have been common. They're extremely common in the pet trade, so they've become invasive in every part of the world.
Of course.
And what would happen is in 1970s or something, they had tons of them in like southern states, and they had them in these they had these big lakes that they would put like human excrement into, and they were harvesting turtles out of here and then shipping them across the United States because they're
gross.
Little tiny when they're babies.
Yeah.
And they were shipping them all across the United States, and everybody was getting them, and there started to be complaints because like children would get them and put them in their mouths and salmonella and have all kinds of problems like that. So now there's a 4-inch turtle law, and you're not technically allowed to sell turtles around 4 inches, though many people do. Like you were saying with the fireworks, you just like sign something that's like it's for educational use, it's not.
So
I go to expos and there's tons of little turtles, but no, red-eared sliders get huge. They make really bad pets because they can get really big, 12-inch shell, which doesn't sound very long, but when it's a turtle, it's like massive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, I have, like, four, because I take in turtles, and I keep turtles, and I have a, you have to have a permit to have rated sliders, though no one does. I do, though, and mine are pit tagged and everything. Huh. So I take them in. I have two adults that are really big and then two that are still growing.
What are you going to do with them?
Keep them forever because they live for like 50 years.
I was going to say, don't they live forever?
they live from like...
this is a warning to his future wife.
50 years. Yeah. Yeah, they will always...
mine is yours.
they will live for a very long time.
Yeah, that and parrots, they live forever.
They can.
Yeah, I remember as a kid down in, we had a summer home up in northern Michigan, and as a 10-year-old, I used to walk by this house, and that parrot was sitting on, it was pretty young then, it was sitting squawking at me, and the last time I was up there, which was probably about 10 years ago, he was still there,
really?
Squawking at me.
I think they live for like 50
years. Some of them live about 100 years, I'm told. But yeah, he was at least 50 years old because I had seen him 50 years prior to that. Oh, my. Now, what type of turtles, and I'm keeping an eye on the time so we can get into your massive schedule. And this is a sad subject, but what type of turtles do people eat? And do they eat turtles?
Snapping turtles.
And soft shells.
And soft shells. I think they have to be above...
12 inches.
I think it's 13. Or 13. 12 or 13 inches. Then you can harvest them if they're over 12 and 13 inches during the proper time of the year that's allowed, and then they eat them.
And all you need is a fishing license.
You need a fishing license.
What? This is going to be a little gross, but what do you eat on a turtle? They have a shell.
Well, you don't eat the shell.
Obviously, you don't eat the shell.
They said, well, there's seven different kinds of meat on a snapping turtle. I've always
really?
Heard.
Well, the snapping turtles can get really large, can't they? I mean, like 3 or 4 feet long. Well, maybe not that long, but pretty long.
Two or three. Get big.
Yeah, they can get up to at least 20 pounds or more.
Yeah. Wow.
That's what the really, really big snapping turtles are, the alligator snapping turtles, and those aren't around here. We have common snapping turtles here, which are a bit smaller.
So how many critters do you harbor?
I have 8 turtles. They're all rescues people have given to me that they no longer want. And then I have a green iguana and a bearded dragon. And then the rest are geckos. And I breed the geckos, so I have a lot that I'll always keep. And then I have way more that are that I'll be selling. But I probably have, like... 40 geckos.
Do you live with your parents?
Yeah.
He said his room is full of animals.
I was going to say, he has the most sympathetic parents of anybody I've ever heard of.
Yeah, no, they're extremely supportive. They're great.
That's good. And I'm glad that you're doing that. And I'm glad you found something you really enjoy. James is a great guy to follow after because I know he really enjoys nature. And has become very smart.
I don't want to say that.
It's hard to imagine how smart a guy from southeastern Ohio can get. No, man. And you're really not from southeastern Ohio.
No, though, just went to school down there for 5 years.
Yeah. Okay. Well, why don't we talk about your program that's coming up?
All right. So one thing I do just want to mention so I don't have to do a lot of repeating, but on every Friday, except for next week for the Marion County Fair, is our outdoor kids program, which is called Kiddos at the Park. It used to be just for preschool, kindergarten age, but we also have expanded it to the first to third grade age students
well.
That has been very successful. Like last Friday, we had 41 people. Now, this is including adults and all children, even babies. We count the babies.
I imagine Jonah's very helpful in
Right? Yeah. He helps my wife out with the older kids, and then I do the little kids.
I can see that. You try to make sure... intellect with intellect and so forth.
That's right. That's right. So, but we pick a theme and then we do different games, activities, and crafts. And then
it sounds like fun.
Oh, it is. And then we go out on the trail, and then we always go out on a hike. And then at the beginning, we do like a show and tell, or we call the nature discoveries. So even for the older ones, and it can be like a rock, a feather. We've had someone last Friday brought in salamanders that they found from Delaware Wildlife Area.
Huh.
So yeah, we've seen all kinds of
and
fun
then
stuff.
Gave it to Jonah.
No,
right?
they went back to go release it.
Good.
So
good.
They just
glad
wanted
they
to
that.
Show it for the programming. So, but yes, again, that's on Fridays.
How long does it take?
It starts at 10 o'clock in the morning and then it ends about 11:30 ish.
Okay.
So and we do ask an adult has to be present.
Yeah.
So it can be
that.
Parent, grandparent, guardian. I mean whoever. So.
Yeah.
But yeah. So again, that's just on those Fridays again, except for the fair. So.
Okay.
So yeah, the first one, the July 1st will be tomorrow. Yep. That'll be our kiddos at the park program. Thing to mention, we do require registration.
Okay.
We do ask because we only have so many resources.
Yeah, sure.
So we do allow 15 for the younger ones and 15 for the older kids.
Give us your number and where they call or how they do that.
So the easiest way is through our social media, the Facebook or the Instagram account, but you can call the office phone number, which is 740-223-4161.
One more time.
Again, that's 740-223-4161.
Okay.
So, then we'll be at the fair next week from the 4th to 9th, and we believe we'll be out by the grandstand, and we'll have some different games and activities. So come see us.
Will you have any critters out at the fair?
Maybe. Probably okay. Most likely not. It's usually a very hot week, so we usually don't want to stress those animals out.
And there's lots of critters up in the barns.
That's right. Yeah. That's right. And then Jonah, he will be doing a running program at Tallgrass Trail.
Running program?
Yep, he's in cross country. So
cool.
He was, asking me for ideas, and I said, there are some people that are, health conscious, and they really want to know maybe some proper ways on exercising. So
Jonah, I'm not one of those, by the way. Go ahead.
So yeah, he'll be, talk about some stretches, and then on a 2-mile hike or a run, I should say, and then talk about some ending stretches.
Fantastic.
So again, that'll be on the 12th, and that'll be from 9:30 to 11 a.m. On July 13th. We have our Creaking for Critters program at the Paradise Nature Preserve. That will start at 5 o'clock p.m. So we'll be going in the Olentangy River and catching some different animals we can find.
So what should they wear?
Yes, anything they don't mind getting wet or dirty. So okay. Swimming trunks.
Should have some sort of footwear on.
Yes, there's like those water crocs, boots.
Yeah.
Something like
that.
Because
you don't want to step on something that's in the river, right?
Yeah, and there's sharp rocks too, so you don't want to cut your foot. So yeah, please make sure to dress appropriate for that program. On July 14th, Jonah's going to be the Come Meet Jonah and Friends. This is where he brings in live turtles, birds, insects, and that will be at the Marion Tallgrass Trail at the trailhead. What now?
And lizards.
Oh, and lizards, yep.
But no whale for Jonah.
Yeah, no whale.
Okay.
So that will start at 5 o'clock and end at 6 o'clock p.m.
I'm going to drag that out forever, by the way, since your name's Jonah.
There you go.
Go ahead.
July 15th is our other Kiddos at the Park outdoor program. On the 15th and 16th, Jonah will be he'll be at the Waldo Summerfest there in the village of Waldo.
It's a good thing Jonah showed up because now you can take those naps you wanted.
That's right. The reason why I won't be there because my wife and I were celebrating our 10th anniversary.
Happy anniversary.
Going to the wilds.
That sounds like
great
fun. Yeah.
So we're going to do an after tour and some stuff like that.
I bet your boy will like that.
Well, actually, it's just the mom and dad trip.
Little
buddy's got to stay with the aunt.
Okay.
On July 19th, Jonah will be doing hike with the
he's doing everything. What do you do anymore?
I promise I'm doing some stuff. Hike with the Internaturalists. That'll be at the Paradise Nature Preserve. Again, that's July 19th, starting at 4 o'clock p.m. Then we have the Prairie Plant Tour. This is kind of new. I'm going to be doing it at the Beaver Wildlife Area, which is one of the two wildlife areas here in Marion County that is owned by Pheasants Forever, but operated by the Department of Natural Resources or the Division of Wildlife.
What type of plants do you find in the prairie?
So this has a really, really neat, it has a lot of unique prairie plants.
Cool.
It's got a lot of unique flowers and grasses, and I love always going there every summer. And I say, you know what, I want to do a program here.
And this is a good time of the year, I would think.
Yes. So if you're not familiar, it's just outside the city of Marion on your way to Green Camp off of 739. We have our flyers on our social media, so there's a proper address on there.
Okay.
But that will start at 5 o'clock p.m. on the 21st, we'll be doing our third Thursday in downtown Marion. That's from 4 to 7. On the 22nd, we'll be doing our other Kiddos at the Park outdoor program. On the 23rd, which is actually my birthday, we'll be doing a MOF program. I will be out there at Headwaters Outdoor Education Center, which is in Morrow County.
What's the maximum we can spend on your present?
What?
Your birthday present.
Oh, as much as you want. I don't care. But yeah, that will start at 7:30 p.m. and we'll probably end around 10 or so because their MOFs like coming out in their nocturnal setting. But I will be talking about MOFs of Ohio, but we have a local here in Marion called Bill Bender. And he brings all kinds of equipment out to attract the moths. And don't worry, I have one right at the end of the month, and I'll be talking about that.
Now, do the people that come to that need to have red flashlights?
No. Okay. You can bring a white light. It doesn't matter on that one.
All right.
Then Jonah will be doing a pond study at the Greensboro Nature Preserve on July 26th from 4 to 6 p.m.
A pond what?
Study.
Okay.
So he will be looking at different critters in the pond setting. And I'll definitely be there because I love pond studies. And there's a lot of unique little critters in there. I've done some programs there in the past.
Are the tadpoles still going strong then?
Yeah. There's some tadpoles still in there.
Okay.
Then we'll be back here with you, Glenn, on the 28th.
Is that the last one or is that the fourth?
That's the last one, yeah. Okay. Then later on that day, the farmer's market in downtown Marion from 4 to 7. On the 29th, we'll again have our Kiddos at the Park outdoor program. On the 29th, Jonah is going to be doing a night hike at the park from 9:30 to 11 o'clock p.m. So this is where you need your red flashlight.
Yeah.
Because we do science class in the dark.
You know, to my listeners, the reason why you have to have that red flashlight is because your vision gets destroyed by the white light and you can't see crap, nor can the animals.
Yes, and it ruins our experiments, too. And we won't talk about the experiments now. You have to come out and find out.
All right. So.
And then the very last program is I call the Mothapalooza at the Tallgrass Trail. It's the Moth program.
Uh-huh.
So this will be from 7:30 to, again, probably about close to 11 o'clock. Sometimes Bill goes longer. If you can't come out to the one in Morrow County on the 23rd, come out to the one on 30th at Marion Tallgrass Trail.
Are you going to go back to your old haunts and see if you can get the Mothman to come up?
We could try, yeah. Well, you know, Bill Bender, he has a shirt and it's called Marion's Mothman.
Oh, that's kind of... People that don't know the southeastern Ohio, there is... Actually, it's probably West Virginia more than southeastern Ohio.
Kind of northwest West Virginia.
Yeah. The Mothman is notorious down there.
Yes, especially in Parkersburg.
And it's kind of like a...
local legend.
Yeah, it's a legend. It's kind of like the Sasquatch. Nobody's ever seen it, or people say they've seen it, but nobody ever believes them. So.
You know, it's funny you mentioned that. There's actually a lot of reports or sightings of Bigfoot in southeastern Ohio.
Really?
And I could imagine that being, you know, in that environment.
Of course, with all the alcohol.
Well, that too. Maybe the other things growing in Nelsonville.
Do those sightings go up on Halloween?
Probably. I can see that.
I've seen a few on Halloween, yes. Okay. Well, it's kind of fun to have you back. We missed you last month.
Yes. I was at South Carolina,
What'd you do in South Carolina?
My aunt lives down there.
Oh, okay.
Little Mountain, which is just outside of Columbia.
Did you get to go out and hike around?
Went to some of their state parks, and then went pontooning, and it was a good time.
I'm going to write to somebody at our state parks. Their website is really hard, especially if you're trying to find camping area. It's really hard to navigate, but maybe it's just because I'm old.
I wasn't going to say anything.
I'll get Jonah to come over and work that website for me.
There you go.
Okay, so you're going to have Jonah back next time, right?
Yes, yeah. And again, he's going to do more of the talking and all. Okay. And I'm going to kind of
get your head ready.
I'm going to kind of be in the background.
Okay.
And just, you know, kind of just there. So.
Now, that's on the
28th.
The 28th, okay. I was going to look to see if that's the fourth or the final. I think there are only four Fridays next month.
I think so.
Anyway. All right. Well, I really appreciate both of you coming. And really, it's kind of fun to talk about these critters. And I will try to keep my eyes open because I think I'm going to see something crazy this month.
Cool.
I've had so many birds, so many critters, deer, opossum, and raccoon and skunk coming through my yard, that something's going to break. I don't know what else could come up. But maybe I'll see a coyote.
You could.
I'd love to see a coyote.
You should put a trail camera in your yard.
I should put a trail camera. They're not very cheap, though.
They're not. They're a little pricey. And, you know, kind of the old saying, you pay what you get for. So.
Yeah, yeah. And I'm cheap, so it would be probably be a matchbox with, I don't know. Anyway, I'm looking forward to next month, and I'm sure that we will have lots of people listening. I'm sorry to the lady that called in during the break. She obviously wasn't able to get back with us, but tune in next month, and we'll get James Anderson. And give me your last name again.
Jonah Bowdle.
Bowdle.
Okay, Jonah. I'm going to stick with Jonah. I can't get that last name. All right. Well, we've got about 2 minutes left to go. Is there anything else you need to tell us about?
Oh, yes. Just really quick. We want to thank, you know, we were talking about the storms.
Yes.
You know, we were very fortunate. We had a lot of volunteers that stepped up. The Scioto Valley, the fire district, they came out, and they did a lot of clearing. I believe it was like Augusta Meeker or Augusta Northern right to the Harding County line. So we really want to thank those guys out, because if it weren't for them, I think the trail would still be covered with trees. Dan Sheridan, which is our boss, he thinks we had over 100 trees knocked down from that storm.
One thing, that affects the wildlife in the area.
Oh, yeah.
Sure. Yeah, one thing I did want to ask you about, fireworks and critters.
Oh, that's right. That was the other thing we were going to talk about earlier.
Is there anything we can do? Obviously, don't set fireworks off.
Yeah, that's about. There are some environmentally friendly fireworks, and the reason why I call them environmentally friendly because they use different kinds of chemicals. Because once the fireworks set off, you know, with the normal ones, you know, that phosphorus and all the other stuff that they
smell,
use to make those colors, well, it drops down, and then if it's in a waterway, then fish and other wildlife will ingest it. So there's those environmentally friendly ones that don't really hurt the wildlife as much.
My guess is there aren't a lot of people that are terribly concerned about environmentally correct
fireworks. No, and they are a little bit more pricier since obviously they're made a little bit differently. So, yeah, there's not going to be a lot of people who are going to be buying those kinds.
Well, make sure your critters, if you have domestic critters, make sure they're in the house and got a thunder blanket on or something.
Yeah.
Give them some love because they're going to hate it come the 4th of July. And we're already starting in our neighborhood with people and fireworks. So,
oh, I bet.
You're not supposed to do those if you have had any alcohol, so be careful. Okay, we're out of here. Thanks for tuning in. I'll talk to you in Swap Shop.
You're listening to WWGH Radio 107.1 FM, LP Marion, Ohio. For legendary Emmy Award-winning actor, best known for his role of Lou Grant on The Mary Tyler Moore Show, Ed Asner.
You have always lived a very public life, certainly since Mary Tyler Moore. Is that tough when people constantly come up to you, say hello, want to take your pic, especially with cell phones? Everybody's got a picture, a phone. And is anything private?
No, not much. But I'm a publicity. So I drop my pants at the slightest provocation. I shouldn't. I should have been more circumspect in how I deal with